It's a little after 9:30 this Tuesday morning. Great to have you with us as always. Let's go straight and live to Sydney, Australia, and say good morning to Leanne Moriarty. Good morning, Leanne. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Ireland.
Good morning, Ryan. Thank you so very much.
Well, you are the author of Big Little Lies, Nine Perfect Strangers, and congratulations on the release of your latest book, which we're going to talk about in just a second, called Apples Never Fall. But do you know what I'd love to talk to you about is, because we were talking a little bit about this domestic violence this morning, and you approach it in very full on in Big Little Lies, at least. One thing that you do in your books a lot is you see what looks on the face of things normal, functional, beautiful, the cause of some envy. And then when you look a little closer, there's an ugly truth. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yes, that's just something I'm interested in exploring, not just in terms of horrible truths, but even, you know, the tiny differences between what we present to the world and what we're really thinking. And in Big Little Lies, I think it was an article I read, and then I really looked into it. I remember reading a book called Not to People Like Us, mm-hmm. which was, you know, about the wives of wealthy, successful men who had this terrible secret, and who looked from the outside exactly as you said, that had it all, but we had terrible things going on behind closed doors.
And you see that, don't you? I mean, I know you've talked about this before, where you go into a housing estate and you see manicured gardens and well-painted doors and so on. But really what lies beyond those doors, they're all mini novels in themselves.
Yes, exactly. Behind every door is a mini novel, and there are tragedies, but of course there are also beautiful moments going on behind those doors. Yeah.
I'm going to mention the domestic violence one more time, just on the basis that when you, as you've written about it, as it was portrayed in Big Little Lies, very violent. I thought it was very important to confront that violence in a visceral way, the way you did it, rather than kind of hide behind the niceties of maybe a montage or a story being told by somebody else in a coffee shop. Do you think that's important now more than ever, Leanne, in terms of 2021 and confronting the ugliness of it all, rather than, as we've done, I know, in this country for too long in the past, just sweep it under the carpet and really just not let it out?
Absolutely. We need to show the ugliness, although I guess we need to show it in a way so that people don't entirely turn away, so they don't close the book or switch off the television. So, you know, that is the point of art, so it still tells a story. And, you know, when I wrote Big Little Lies, I still wanted to entertain. But I know that part of what that book did, I had people coming up to me at events and saying, I left a relationship because of this book. And I always remember one woman in particular who said, I gave this book to all my friends and said, read this book because this is me. So that was her way of telling people, what she'd never revealed before. So, but yes, in the same way, though, I had to make... I had humour, and I guess what I did have in Big Little Lies, what really would have happened to Celeste is that he would have killed her in the end. But because this was fiction, she got her happy ending. And so what I guess then my hope would be that people reading that book would get out sooner, so they get their happy ending before it's too late, right at the very beginning, because often women say they can look back to that very first time and they know that's when I should have left.
Yes, I appreciate that, and it just the story rings true in this country this morning, as there was a case that was a very heavily reported. It's in all our newspapers this morning about a beautiful young woman who was really just snatched from her family after a violent assault by a former partner. And we're all kind of reeling. We're a small island. Yeah. And we're all kind of reeling from it because she's everyone's sister, daughter, you know.
Yes. Yeah. That's so, so distressing. And I'm so sorry that it happens. Why do we keep hearing these stories over and over again?
It comes down to, in some ways, education. And I say that as a segue to your own story in primary school and your father, actually. I love this idea that he kind of commissioned you to write a story. But what I love is the paternal encouragement in that story. Maybe you'd share it with us.
Yes, when he discovered that my sister and I liked to write stories, so I'm the eldest of six children, and when he discovered that, then he said, well, I will commission your first publishing deals. So he would pay us to fill an exercise book filled with words. But he did then have a plastic roulette wheel, and he'd play roulette against us and win back all the money that... that he'd paid us for our writing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's clever or mean. I'm not quite...
it was nice. The good thing about it was that it made us take our writing seriously and it sort of validated our... And because Dad's thing was always, you know, if you can do whatever it is, if you can do something that you love, he'd say, if you can do something that you love and some bastard will pay you to do it, then there's nothing better than that.
Well, I know what they're saying there. What about this idea? As a father of daughters myself, a beautiful young women now, I was intrigued to hear you talk about something called the confidence gap. I wasn't aware of it. I find myself in a perpetual state of learning about the world. But this idea of, you know, young girls between the ages of 8 and 14, very specific, have been found to have self-confidence that it plummets significantly.
Yes, I've read about it. I'm not sure. I can't tell you what causes it, but I remember, and when I read about it, it just really resonated with me because that's exactly what happened to me, that I was a sort of little girl who wrote school plays, and I invited the whole school class to come and rehearse at my place and then performed the play. And then as I became a teenager, that all fell away. And sometimes when I look back, I think, did I start to become, even though it's in, you know, this was back in the 70s, it's nothing like it is now, the obsession with your appearance, but did I start to think that all that mattered was, do boys like me? Was that what it was about? I don't know.
But it's called the confidence gap, I suppose. But then I wonder, was it ever thus? You know, teenagers and those years, they tend to be times of, you know, considerable vulnerability in any event for boys and girls.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, I'm sure the same applies to boys. Maybe it happens at a different time, or maybe they're better at hiding it and pushing themselves through it.
Well, that's a very good observation, because fellas tend to be better at hiding things, B, not talking about things, and definitely C, being the loudest voice in the room.
Yes, exactly. So maybe that's the answer.
congratulations on your new book, obviously, Apples Never Fall, and we're back to... I think it's terra firma for you, isn't it? Dark, twisty, family saga, sordid suburbia. Yeah, this is your home. this is your home turf. Can you give us the nutshell version of the book just for our listeners who haven't read it?
Sure. So it's about Joy and Stan Delaney, who are retired tennis coaches, and they've just sold their very successful tennis school. And they have four adult children, and sadly no grandchildren. So they're a little bit lost. They're empty nesters, and they're not the sort of people who are very good at retirement. And then it's what happens when Joy goes missing, and Stan becomes the main person of interest in her disappearance. And so the four adult children have to deal with the possibility that perhaps their father was responsible. So they're, you know, how it's hard enough to look at your parents as just flawed human beings, let alone to consider the terrible possibility that your father may have murdered your mother. So that's the premise.
Well, and so begins. There's not much more we can say on that, because we just give it away, because it's just such a rollicking sort of thriller. But you do throw up the questions there anyway. How would you feel if your father was accused of killing your mother, and the siblings gathering around saying, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And now you're into, even within families, that whole notion of factions and taking sides and so on. I mean, it's all there.
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to explore. And the different ways that siblings all look back on the same childhood, how, and the different ways they would view their parents' marriage. So that's what really interested me.
You've made a habit of writing books that are absolutely tailor-made for massively successful television productions. I mean, Big Little Lies, well, I think it was 8 Emmys and 4 Golden Globes and 9 Perfect Strangers, which I thoroughly enjoyed, I have to say. I actually thought Melissa McCarthy was a real standout in that, because I was so used to one side of her. I thought she was very moving in that.
Yeah, she's absolutely, absolutely wonderful as Frances. I thought actually the whole cast was incredible.
I agree with you. And you know, you find yourself, Leanne, moving in kind of different circles to the circles most authors would do. Although we did have our own one of our own great writers, Cecilia Hearn, here recently talking about having, you know, dealings with Nicole Kidman for her book. So Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon, both of whom you've dealt with, they're doing great things for books, aren't they? I mean, it's that lovely conflation of the great medium of television, but also of literature.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, it means that there are wonderful television being made. But, of course, as authors, it's bringing, you know, so many more readers to our books. So that's what, as authors, we're so grateful. I'm so grateful for that. Apart from the fun of getting to see my characters come to life.
Do you enjoy that aspect of it? I mean, you are writing these vastly successful books, as I say, over 20 million books sold, and then you find yourself on the phone saying, I want Meryl Streep or I'm not going to be happy, and throwing your pen down. I mean, is it that much fun? I think we've lost. No, you're still there. Good, go on.
Thought we lost. Have fun. Oh, sorry. Yes. No. I'm still here. Good. I want to still be there. I had a lot of fun. That was for season 2 of Big Little Lies. Coming up with a character, particularly for the role of Meryl Streep, that was a career highlight.
Yes.
And it's incredibly fun just to visit the sets and see how it all comes together. But I have to say, for me, the main goal is still definitely the book, because that's between me and the reader. So every single reader that you know, they use their imagination, and it's my imagination. So that feels very personal, and also I'm in charge of that world. So when I've handed it over each time, I've been very happy to let it go. But I do love, once I'm back to my book, I love being in charge of my characters.
Kate in Sligo here in Ireland says, Leanne Moriarty is my absolute hero. Her writing is so impactful and yet light, effortless, hilarious. Her characters are full and empathetically rendered, flaws and all. She's an incredible author. It's so wonderful to hear her speaking on the show this morning. Do you feel, I know you've spoken on this before, I won't dwell on it for too long, but as a writer in 2021 versus a writer in 2011, do you feel an extra pressure to make your books more diverse, make your books more culturally appropriate, et cetera, et cetera? Or do you just plow on, carry on regardless?
Well, thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for that lovely person for their text.
Sure.
And yes, definitely the world has changed. And so anybody who's making any kind of art has to be aware of that. I guess as I'm writing, I think I could become paralyzed if I started to think too much about that. The important thing is once I've finished writing to look back and see, you know, have I got enough diversity? I do think my earlier books, I think most of us as authors probably automatically write from, you know, from your own point of view. So all my characters, you know, well, they probably all sounded quite Irish Catholic background. And so I think in this book, for example, you can see a marked difference and that the characters would more reflect exactly the sort of characters that I see in my own neighbourhood. But then my main characters will probably always be like me because I don't think it's my place to write from another cultural background because yes. Then I could rightfully be accused of cultural appropriation. So it's a tricky balance, and it should be tricky. Hopefully, I'm getting it right. And I think once we have diversity in the authors, so in the books that are being written, then it will no longer be such an issue. Because I always think if it was only men that were writing books, then I as a woman would think. And, you know, if they then sometimes tried to write from a female point of view, I'd say you're not getting it right. Mm. If they then tried to put a few female characters in their books, I'd say you're not getting it right. It wouldn't matter what they did until I had a chance to write my own books. So that's what we need to get that balance right. And we're obviously getting there.
Slowly but surely, no doubt about
yes.
it. Leanne, I'm sorry we have to go at this point, but I wanted to say thank you for your time this morning. I hope life is good in Australia and that you're all surviving the other thing we don't need to mention. But
we're all good. It was lovely talking to you, Ryan.
Thank you, Leanne. To you and your family, and I wish you every happiness and good luck, and hopefully meet you in Ireland the next time you're in town. Best of luck. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Nice to talk to you. Leanne Moriarty joining us from Sydney, Australia. Beautiful. I mean, technology worked quite well there, actually, in fairness. I thought we lost her for a second, but we didn't. And a lovely person. And her books, Big Little Lies, Nine Perfect Strangers, you may have watched them, you may have read them, but certainly her new one is called Apples Never Fall. And that is all in all good bookshops. Now, I'm so delighted, says the text, to hear my absolutely favourite author, Leanne Moriarty, being interviewed. Her books are so gripping and engaging. I'm currently listening to Apples Never Fall. And of course, that's one way. I think a lot of people I know now are listening to books as much as, if not more than, reading the hard copy itself. But nothing wrong with that. Any which way, let's take a break.